Good morning. Everybody awake? That was so gentle, so nice. We're going to get you warmed up. Okay, Pastor Dave's on vacation today. I think he's with Abby at a track meet. And so we have a guest pastor, Artie Hall, Reverend Artie Hall, who is retired and associated with the Greensburg Church, but she does fill in, and I think you will get a lot from what she has to say today. So, some of you who have gone to lay school may recognize her from lay school, too. She was one of the teachers there. Diane's also on vacation, so Debbie's sitting in at the organ bench, and we appreciate her help, too, because I can't do that. I wouldn't want to try. Okay, so may the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. Please stand and greet each other. Welcome back to your seats and find the little red register pad at the end of the pew and sign in so we know you're here today and we know who isn't here. And if you sit in a seat where somebody isn't that you usually see, give them a call, see where they are, see how they are, if they are, hopefully they are. Okay, if you have any prayer requests, there should be a card in there that you can write on. If not, grab an usher and have them bring the name up for us to pray. Okay, let's see what's going on at church. It's summertime, but not everybody's on vacation. I see you out there. So the children's collection today is going to go for the Warriors. We'll talk about that a little later. Okay, check through, and if you want to give some altar flowers, they still need some. Check through the announcements, and if something jumps out at you, make sure you read it. Let's see. The new ministry in our area, I haven't heard of this before, out of Keystone, a gospel concert on Friday, the first Saturday in August, I'm sorry, first Saturday. So there should be a flyer in your bulletin about that. Sounds like a fun evening, afternoon, whatever it is. Ooh, it's 12 noon to 7 p.m. Okay. District Day at Kennywood. District Day is always fun. If you know people in the district, it's fun to go get to know them if you don't know them already. Are there any other announcements from out there? Okay, we have an announcement about Vacation Bible School, but that's going to come up a little bit later. But they do still need helpers, so kind of keep that in mind. Okay. Let's continue with our service. join together with a hymn of preparation, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," and you may remain seated. Now let's stand and do the call to worship together. In Jesus Christ, the child of God, we hear and see the word of peace, which is for all people. We gather to tell the world that peace is God's will for us. In Jesus Christ, Redeemer of all creation, we hear and see the healing of the broken, which is for all people. The good news of God's faith and justice. We gather to share our sisters. In Jesus Christ our Lord, our brother, we hear and see the inheritance of God, which is for all people. Let's continue with the unison prayer together. In the chorus of the cardinal and turtle dove, all creation sings your praise. Giver of grace, steadfast love whispers to us on the breezes of summer, while faithfulness runs barefoot in the backyards of our hearts, calling to us to come play forever in your fields of peace. Justice calls our souls. Plumb line of peace. Daring us to reach out to the broken, the hungry, the needy, the hopeless, to share with them the rich inheritance of acceptance and healing which has been given to us. The evening song of the frogs in summer's gentle mist lullabies in a gentleness of your steadfast love, Spirit of God, cradling us in your grace and healing us with your peace. God in community, holy in one, we lift our praise to you as we pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll remain standing while we sing hymn number 369. Sermon today, maybe. And this is Sophia, and you brought, I forgot your baby's name, Jenny. Okay. Are you going to bring Jenny to Bible school? Have you thought about Bible school? About, wow. Well, Vacation Bible School is coming, and well, have you noticed anything different about the sanctuary? Anything? You see anything you don't usually see in here? Some of it's been up for a while, so it may be very familiar. How about a tent? Yeah, the tent, the rocks, the fire. Pretend fire, right? I couldn't light the candles from that. It looks neat, doesn't it? I think it's hot. Pretend hot. Yeah, pretending is fun. So when the kids come to Bible school, they're helpers that not only teach the lessons, but they're helpers that walk the children from place to place. So we need helpers with that too. And if you know maybe any high school kids, junior high kids that would like to help out, I understand they can get some kind of community points or something for this too. So, see Penny, raise your hand and wave it around. There's Penny. See her. She's got a meeting afterward, after church, right? In the back room. Okay, by the pastor's office. Okay, So it's a fun way to spend the week if you can come. It's in the evening. Okay. So it should be fun. And you can bring your baby too. Because the baby needs to learn about Jesus, right? Everybody needs to learn about Jesus, and that's what it's all about. Okay? And I'm going to have a prayer with you, and then you're going to go. You're the only one collecting the money today. You think you can do that? Maybe, could I help you, maybe? You do one side, and I'll do the other side. Should we do that? Okay, I got the buckets around the corner. Let's say a prayer before we do that. Lord, we thank you we could be here today. We thank you for Jesus, that you sent him to take away our sins and make us more like God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. If you're following the bullet, you'll notice that it's listed in there that I'm singing Here I Stand. Unfortunately, that's the same song I sang last month for you. So today, I'm singing Ever So Near so that my message can come through clear that Jesus is always with us. So Penny, if you're ready.
Though the valley is dark, I am ever alone. Your shelter and hope to my heart. So close by my side, the best friend I've known. I rest assured, Jesus, all because you are. Ever so near, when I call out your name. Ever so close, when I feel far away. There's nowhere that I am out of your sight. So there's never a need to fear. You are always and ever so near. You're the love that will stay. I can trust me to you. Doesn't matter if it's night or day. You're here. Carry me through, so sure of your presence to show me the way. You're ever so near when I call out your name. Ever so close when I feel far away. There's no place that so there's never a need to fear. You are always and ever so near. There's no place where I am out of your sight. So there's never a need to fear.
Scripture reading today is from 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and 12b through 19. You know what that B means? That means it starts into the verse, into that verse. Okay. And I'm reading from a version that comes to us from Australia. Is that correct? She'll explain more later. But it's a little bit different than the version in your pew Bible. David called up 30,000 top soldiers, the cream of Israel's army, and led them to Bala in Judah to collect the sacred Ark of God. The Ark bore the name of the Lord, who rules over everything. And the gold cherubim on its top were recognized as God's throne on the earth. They removed the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab, secured it on a new cart, and set off down the hill with it. Abinadab's two sons, Aho and Uzziah, were at each end, steering the cart, which carried the Ark of God. The crown of the Israelite people accompanied them, forming a joyful procession. All were singing and dancing in honor of the Lord. David led them with a great enthusiasm, and they were accompanied by all sorts of musical instruments. Sounds like Irwin's parade. They parked the ark in the house of Obadiah for a while after an accident, but eventually they were ready to set out again and bring it to the city of David. There was a huge celebration. At this time, the Ark of God was carried on the shoulders of some chosen men. Each time they had taken six paces, they would stop. David would sacrifice a bullock and the prime beef yearling. Bare-chested, with only a linen cloth around his waist, David danced with uninhibited joy and great energy to honor our Lord. To the sounds of trumpets and a loud cheering, David and all the people of Israel brought the Ark of the Lord into Jerusalem. As they came through the city's gates, David's wife Michelle was watching from a window. She was the daughter of Saul. When she saw King David making such a display of himself, leaping around in his dance, she was disgusted. David had set up a special marquee for the sacred Ark of the Lord. They carried it in and set it in its place. David led the people in worship, offering animal sacrifices to the Lord by burning them on an altar. When the offerings were over, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, who rules over everything. He sent them all on their way with gifts of food. Every man and woman in Israel was given a platter laden with bread, roast beef, and fruit cake. So with the celebrations over, everyone headed home. Sounds like a great time. Let's go now in your hymn book, hymnal to page 755, and read together Psalm 24. This does go over into the second page, too. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For God has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from God their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord,
who seek the face of God.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in.
Who is the ruler of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in.
And who is this ruler of glory?
The Lord of hosts, the The Lord is the ruler of glory.
Amen. At this time, the ushers will come forward for your gifts and your tithes. Of the heavenly hosts, you are enthroned on the cherubim. We praise you for your glory and majesty. You always keep your promise to be in our midst when we gather together in your holy name. Make us more like King David, who rejoiced with great gladness and singing in your presence. Let others see and hear our joy and be drawn to you. We dedicate our offerings and our lives to your service through Christ your Son. Amen.
It is that season in our worship where we bring our joys and our concerns before the Lord. And so if you have a joy or a concern, would you... Don't you have someone that goes out in the aisle? Does anybody have a joy or a concern that they want to share this morning? Nothing good happened this week. I find that difficult to believe. We had a whole day without rain. I think that's a cause for celebration. I can't hear you. Do you have a mic that we can take out there?
Yeah. I was saying that when we go shopping on the weekends, it usually ends up raining and we get wet. But yesterday it didn't rain. It changed. I was so glad.
It was just good to see the sunshine. It's a blessing for me to be with you this morning. I am Pastor Artie. I'm recently retired United Methodist clergy, and it's a delight for me to be invited to speak here this morning. Are there concerns that you would like to bring before the Lord this morning? I would invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin where you do have those who are hospitalized. There's no one on that list. Does anyone know of anyone who's in hospital today? I would ask you to pray for a little boy named Isaac. Isaac is a young boy at 10 who's been suffering seizures for several years. And they went in on Wednesday and placed electrical impulse instruments on his brain to find out what part of his brain was deficient. Now they have discovered and they think they know what to do. So on this week now they will go in and do brain surgery and remove the parts of his brain that are causing the seizures. 10 years old. Please keep little Isaac in your prayers. He is, needless to say, in a great deal of anxiety, but he knows that Jesus loves him. And so his mom and he would cover your prayers, and I've been asked also to send a card or a note, so I have that address at home. But please keep Isaac in your prayers. Thank you. You'll notice that there are folks on your personal care home list, and I'll have to take this with me. I do go to Redstone periodically to speak, and so I will try to look up Nancy and Catherine. And then you have others in various, and Jane, who is in North Huntington, Dorothy, Marge, Lena, Virginia, and Catherine. And I would invite you that when you're thinking about these folks, many times the folks that are now in personal care homes or nursing homes, they have oftentimes they have been the pillars of the church, and now they're unable to be here. And so please keep them in your prayers, and if you happen to be in the area, stop in and give them 10 minutes of your time. It would be the best 10 minutes of your day, because they are very grateful when someone pays a little attention and offers them a blessing. You have many on a continuous prayer list, and others that are on more recent. And you'll notice that your offering today in the little buckets was for the prayer warriors, the wounded warriors. We are to be the prayer warriors for the Wounded Warrior Project. And as many of you know, if you watch TV at all, you know that we have soldiers that have come back in very dire straits, not only physically but emotionally. So I would ask you to pray for them and pray for those who give of themselves that we might be safe in this country. And we should not take that for granted. Their families need our prayers, and so I would ask you to keep them in your prayers as well. If there are no others, then I would invite you to turn to your prayer hymn, which is 377, It Is Well With My Soul.
Thank you.
Loving God, we come before you this day, praising your holy name, that we are free to come into this worship center, that we are free to worship you, and we praise you, O God, for those who sacrifice for that freedom. For those, O God, who cannot come with their families this morning to worship, but long to experience your presence in their lives. And so we ask you, O God, to be with them wherever it is they are serving, be it the police or the emergency folks or the service people, whatever they are. We pray, O God, that your presence might be with them, that your peace might surround them. And, O God, we pray for those who are in care centers, nursing homes, and extended care centers, that they might know, too, the presence of your love and your grace. Help us, O God, be faithful to your call as we witness to them and as we call them or we send them a note and let them know that they are not forgotten, that we still remember them and treasure them. We know too, O God, that there are those who are shut in their homes and they long to be here. And so we ask, O God, that you might be present wherever they are, that your Holy Spirit might touch them, that they might surely know that they really are not alone. Each of us, O God, comes into this place with burdens on our hearts. Many of them we don't name out loud, and yet they are real. And so, Lord, in the quiet of this moment, hear the prayer of each heart. Thank you, Lord God, for hearing our prayers. For we know that you are ever more ready to listen than we are to call. So be with us through the remainder of this day and the days ahead that we might experience your presence and your call on each of our lives. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Mark chapter 6, and it begins at verse 14. I'm going to read it from a Laughing Bird, which is an interpretation, or it's not really a translation. It is just a way of presenting the message in a more easily understood fashion. And so I'm going to read this for you this morning. I had never heard of this until recent months, and one of my pastor friends has started to use it. And when I listened in on a service, it really touched me, and I hope that it touches you. The word was getting around about Jesus, and soon even King Herod had heard what was being said. Everyone had an opinion. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? Everyone had an opinion. Some people thought he was a reincarnation of John the Baptizer, and that explained his miraculous powers. Others were of the view that he was Elijah, or one of the other great prophets of the past. Herod was backing the John the Baptist theory. "It's John for sure," he said. "I had his head cut off, but he's come back anyway, and more trouble than ever." It had been on Herod's orders that John had been arrested, chained, and put in prison in the first place. He had done this at the insistence of Herodias. She had been the wife of Herod's brother Philip, but she had left him and married Herod. She had it in for John because he had been publicly describing their relationship as adultery. Although Herodias simmered with murderous rage against John, she couldn't touch him because Herod held him in an almost superstitious awe. He was convinced that John was a unique holy man, and he was afraid of what might happen if he didn't protect him. Herod took a perverse pleasure in listening to John speak. Everything John said aggravated him, and yet he kept coming back for more. But it was only a matter of time before Herodias got her chance. On his birthday, Herod threw a huge birthday party, and all the silver tails and top brass were there. Everybody who was anybody in Galilee. Herodias had a very attractive and alluring daughter who came into the party and danced for the men. Herod and his guests were so mesmerized by her charms that the king said to her, "Anything you want, I will give you. Just ask." He was so entranced by her that he shot his mouth off without thinking. "I swear I will give you whatever you ask, even half my kingdom." Now, I think he might have been a little drunk on top of everything else. What do you think? The girl went out and consulted her mother. "What should I ask for?" Herodias had no hesitation. "The head of John the Baptizer," she said. Intoxicated by this thought, the girl raced back to the king and placed her order. "I want the head of John the Baptist. I want it served up on a platter right here, right now." That took the wind out of his sails. But he could hardly go back on his word in front of all these guests. It would lose face or lose John. A very difficult choice. So he caved in and he gave the order. The executioner was sent for and John was dragged out of his cell and beheaded. His head was then carried in on a serving platter and presented to the girl. She in turn gave it to her mother. When the gruesome news reached John's disciples, they came and collected his body so that they could give him a decent burial. Let us pray. Lord God, we hear the gospel once again. May it speak to us in new ways, that we might sense your holy presence, not even in this hour, but in this day and in our lives. Speak to us again, O God, the message you need us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an interesting story, and we've heard it over and over again, I dare say. Some of us perhaps not, but for most of us, we've heard the story over and over again. John had been beheaded. It's odd because Herod had been a great admirer of John. He had protected him, in fact. He was drawn to his preaching, and even though he was greatly troubled by it, he liked to listen to John preach. Mark tells us that when the request to kill John was made, Herod was deeply troubled. Even though he was a king, it's apparent that Herod wasn't a very courageous man. Not only was he unable to stand up to his wife and her daughter, he was also afraid that these important people who had heard him make the promise would think less of him if he backed out and didn't do what she asked. In other words, in spite of his power and position, King Herod didn't have the courage and conviction to do what he knew was right. He was more afraid of being judged by other people than he was of displeasing God. I've been thinking about that. How much conviction would I be able to muster if I were in a situation that required courage of me? It's a question for each of us to ask, isn't it? If I had been one of those early Christians for whom confessing Christ would cause me to be persecuted or even killed, would I have stood up for what I believed? I believe we could liken that to our own lives today. How many times in our lives, in our day-to-day, has something been said or done that we knew was offensive to our holy God, and we did not speak up or defend our faith? I think of that when I think of Peter, but I think I'm a lot like Peter. I'm really quick to respond, and then later have to pay the consequences for my response. Some years ago, we had a family member in our home visiting us. I prepared what I thought was a pretty nice meal, and we were all sitting around and having conversation. And the conversation turned ugly. And I had gotten up from my seat to get the pitcher of water to fill glasses. And I turned and I said, "This conversation will cease. We do not speak like that in this house." There was dead silence. But the conversation turned, and no longer was that subject discussed. I remember when I worked at Kennametal, I was there for 42 years. And once I had professed my faith and announced that I had a call to serve the Lord and began my seminary work, it was interesting how many people came into my office to test my faith. Some would come because they had a trial and they wanted me to pray with them, or they wanted someone to listen. Some would come to tell a joke in the center of the room where others were gathered. I worked in the corporate library. And so they would come in to tell an off-color joke just to see what my response would be. It isn't easy being a Christian. I think sometimes we think it might be. But my friends, it's not going to get any easier. We need to be praying for this nation. And as one of my friends said the other day, the Democrats don't have the answer, and the Republicans don't have the answer. We have the answer, and it's Jesus. But I'm afraid we don't spend enough time in prayer with God in Jesus. We all have this wonderful opportunity to become followers of Christ. Many of us have come to an altar rail at some point in our life and professed Christ and walked away knowing our sins had been forgiven and we had been given a fresh start. I'm afraid for some of us, that fresh start didn't last very long. Do we come up to the altar and claim that we've been saved? We can't claim that unless we are ready to change our lives, to truly change our lives, to be repentant. You can look that up in the dictionary. What does it mean to be repentant? To be repentant is that you turn from your wicked ways, you turn from your sin, and begin anew. We are to be changed people. Changed from the people we were to the people God of the world, of the universe, longs for us to be. I want us to think about that and what God is calling us to be and to do in relationship to the claim that we make to be followers of Christ. Last evening, I happened to be watching Charles Stanley. Anyone listen to Charles Stanley? What a wonderful preacher. Last night, he preached about our need to be in relationship with the Lord. And what that is that when you have a relationship with someone, what does that mean to you? You spend time with someone that you have a relationship with, right? If you have a really good friend, how do you express that friendship? You spend time together. How do we express our relationship with a holy God? Is we spend time together. We do not pray to God, do we? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but I want you to think about this. How much of your day do you give to God? How much of your day do you give to your best friend? How much of your life do you give to one another? How much of your time do you give to God? And what Charles was talking about last night was that if we, who are the faithful, would spend time in prayer with our God, He will hear our prayers and He will answer. But we're a little bit like Herod. We don't want to speak up too loud because we might make somebody mad. We might offend somebody. Or we're just a little bit backward about sticking ourselves out there. Right? But it's who we are. We're Jesus people, aren't we? We went to an altar or we sat in our pew and we said, "Yes, Jesus, I want you in my heart and in my life." Well, if He's going to live there, you better spend a little time with Him. And that's what's so important, my friends. We have to be who we say we are. We have to experience the presence of a living God. And the only way He's living is through you and me. When David celebrated the return of the Ark of the Covenant, he was dancing and free. And I look at us so often when I come into worship and I wonder, how free are we? How free are we to celebrate the love of Jesus with one another? How free are we when we leave this place and go out into a hurting world, and you and I know it's a hurting out there, big time. And we have the answer. And it's not just coming in here and going through the worship service and doing all the things that we're used to doing. It's reaching beyond that. It's reaching beyond that to a way where we can embrace the world, as difficult as that might be, and love them even though they don't look like us. Now, you know, a lot of the world out there doesn't look like us. I have to admit, I was in a store the other day. I was buying some tea. I really like tea, and I like really good tea. And this young woman who was waiting on me, now hold on to your seat. She had a hole here, and a hole here, and a hole here, and a hole here. And every one of these holes was filled with a bead or a pearl or... But you know, as I got to talk to her and share my story with her, I love that young girl. And I said to her, I would really like to buy some tea, but I'm going to be here a while. I don't want to carry a big... Oh, she said, "That's okay. Put your name on the bag and I'll get it for you when you come back." And so we did that. And when I came back, you know what she did? She was busy with another customer. And I went and I said to the... "You have a bag behind." Oh, and she said, "Oh, yeah, I remember you." You know what? We had a connection. She knew who I was. She knew I loved her. I thought she was a really pretty special girl. And we had that wonderful 15 or 20 minutes together. I don't think I'll ever forget her. You know, it's awkward. I was a little put off at first because I'm not big on all these holes. But, you know, she's a beautiful girl. And I don't know why she's got all those holes. But somewhere in her heart, she knows now that I loved her. For that moment in time, we connected. How many people in your life need to know the love of Jesus? This man that I told you was at my table and he was not being very kind, he's dying now. He has a dreadful disease. And I spend time with him now. And I talk to him about his faith and how he's going to cope with all of this and what's going to happen. And he says, "Now I know." Doesn't make it easy that I can't breathe, but he knows now that he's going to be with Jesus. We can change, and we can help other people change if we truly love them. Doesn't mean we have to change who we are. didn't change me. I'm still a servant of the risen Lord. I'm still out there preaching my sermons. I'm still out there doing my thing. But I love people. And I don't care how many tattoos they have. I don't care how many holes they have. We love them into the kingdom, folks. We don't hate them in. Maya Angelou, one of my favorite writers, says, "Hate never won anything. Love wins." I think we should remember that, that love wins. And how real is our faith? How real is your faith? Do you live out your faith on a daily basis? And how real is it? Does anyone know who you are in Jesus? Is it real? I'm going to tell you a little story about a little girl who went to Disney World with her family. You know, for kids, that's a really big deal. Well, for parents, it's a really big deal because it costs a lot of money. But for children, it's a really big deal. This little girl was out in the midst of the 4th of July parade. It was just a wonderful thing. You know, parades at Disney are like right off the wall. Wonderful parade. And all of a sudden, the lightning came and the thunder came. And, oh, everybody ran for cover. But this little girl, and she's out there in the middle of the park. And one of the executives came running out to her and said, "Little girl, are you lost? Are you okay?" And she said, "Well, is this for real?" Well, I'm going to ask you, friends, are we for real? Are we for real? Is our faith living not only in here, but in the way we live and who we talk to and how we talk to them? Is your faith real? That's the question we have to ask ourselves every single day. We claim the name of Jesus. Is it real? Amen.
Now, this is a quote from someone that I read while I was preparing this. And this is what this writer says. "From whom does our mission and sense of purpose and identity come? Is it what the world says we are to strive to be? As followers of Jesus, our mission and identity comes from Christ. We know who we are by knowing who we are in relationship with Christ Jesus, our Lord. He never backed down from standing up for who he was and what he knew. Let us not back down for what God calls us to be and to do. Let us pray. Lord God, we do ask you to touch our hearts and our lives and help us, Lord, to see how your call plays out in our lives. Show us people who need someone to love and to be loved by. Help us, O God, get beyond our prejudice, that uncomfortable feeling that we have, to reach out in your name in love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." And now if you'll stand with me, we'll sing together "Victory in Jesus," and I want you to sing it like you mean it.
Thank you.
The benediction is responsive and is printed in your bulletin. We are sent by God to be God's people in the world. We are called by Christ, adopted into God's gracious family. We are chosen by the Spirit to care for and serve creation. Let us go to join hands with our sisters and brothers everywhere and in every moment. Amen.